not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we can't let Harold go without recognizing him and singing his favorite hymn. So after Jerry says a few appropriate or inappropriate words, we will sing hymn number 589, Here I Am, Lord. Jerry?
Well, Mary and Jim kind of stole part of my thunder because we were going to do this, but it's good that they did because they probably said things that I would have forgotten and wouldn't have said about him anyway. And that was a response from Carol. That was his solo. You know, I noticed this morning that Harold's came through the front door. And ever since I've been coming here, Harold has always come through the back door. So I assume he came through the front door this morning so that as he leaves today, for the final time, he can go out the back door and not come back. No, we want him to come back as often as possible. He's been a great mentor to me. He's one of the first people I met, him and Pat, and people that we just love and do anything for them. And we're going to miss him terribly. We wish him well. We know that he went up to Wairika, to the place up there for a while, and he didn't like that, and now he's going to the veteran home in Reading Tuesday. He has to be there at 7 o'clock, so I told him he probably should leave Monday night. if he wanted, I'd come help him pack and drive him down, but he's got plenty of relatives with him, and it's nice to see son, grandson, great-grandsons, and granddaughter, and with him today. And I know that the rest of his family just supports this move, as they did the one to Wairika. The one good thing about this, the veteran thing, is those of you don't know Harold, probably don't know that Harold is old enough to have been in World War II. So if he was a hero there, they signed him out of Hawaii to go to a little island to help the Seabees, and his ship went to the wrong island. So, but he survived, so he's in good shape. And he did a great job as sheriff here. He never got himself arrested or shot anybody. So he was good. But I wanted to say that Harold, old soldiers never die, as MacArthur said. They just fade away. And we hate to see you go.
I'm glad I'm hard hearing because I don't know.
If you can't hear, how did you know I was talking? I said, as MacArthur said to you, old soldiers never die, they just fade away. And we know that you're just fading into a group of soldiers, ex-soldiers, veterans down there, and I know you'll be able to share a lot of stories and a lot of things with them, and that you'll enjoy the rest of your life. We appreciate you, and we'll miss you. And now, here I am.
I will go, Lord. speak my word to them, whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord, in thee day, Lord, I have heard you calling in the night. I will
strikes me that there might be some male people out there who are expecting me to give them sage advice on how to be a good dad, how to be an all-everything dad, but most of you are way beyond that point. That advice should have come years and years ago. So, today, rather than giving praise to ourselves for being great fathers, Don, did you get the record to play?
I think so.
I'm going to ask that Don play this record. It's by John McDonald. He's one of the three Irish tenors who were so famous several years back. It's called The Old Man, and as we listen to this, it'll give you time to reflect on your fathers and what they meant to you. And I'll warn you, shortly after the beginning of the music, there is a small glitch, and the sound disappears, and it will come back. And I hope that all of you have time now to reflect on your old man.
The tears have all been shed now. We've said our last goodbye. This soul's been blessed, and he's laid to rest, and it's now I feel alone. He was born. He'd show me things not known to kings, and secret between him and me, like the clouds of the present, as he rises in the moon, and out to fresh make a wish, he slay the holy.
Baseball, and I hope I'm not the only one out there who does, you know where that expression comes from. Pedro Martinez is one of the better pitchers of our era. He was on occasions unhittable as a pitcher, and he's probably will be within the next month or two inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He was pitching in the 2004 American League World Championship Series, and the Yankees beat him. And when he faced the reporters, who often asks dumb questions and good questions, they asked him, "What about that? How about that they beat you, Pedro?" And his reply was, "Well, they beat me. They're that good right now. They're that hot. I just tip my hat and call the Yankees my daddy." Well, after that, anytime Pedro pitched against the Yankees, whether it be at Yankee Stadium or in Boston, sometime during that game, the Yankee fans would start chanting, "Pedro, who's your daddy?" Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Well, let's think about a time long ago. A time, put yourself back in the time of Jesus, and you're sitting at Jesus' feet along with his disciples. And one of them, maybe it was you, asked, "Teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray." And what did Jesus say? How did he begin? How did he begin? Our Father. Not our Father. The Greek word that's used in the Bible was Abba. Abba translates from the Greek as Daddy. So Jesus is saying, Daddy. And then he goes on and teaches them to pray. Well, think of yourself there now. You're a devout Jew. As most of the people around you are Jews. Jesus was a Jew. And you've been steeped in the Old Testament. You know all about Yahweh. You know about Abraham. You know about Moses. You know about Joshua. And you know about your God. Your God is the God of the Old Testament. He's one of the main influences in your life. Your God, you never thought of as a person. You never thought of him in personal terms, particularly as a daddy. Powerful? Yes, he was powerful. A just? Yeah, he was a just God. Otherworldly? Yes, he was otherworldly. But you never, ever thought of him as your father. But here you are now listening to this man, this Jesus, and he's asked to teach you how to pray. And he begins by saying, Our Father. Not just our Father, no, he used the term Daddy. This to you is unheard of. It's incredible. Many of the people hearing this would say that it's heresy. God is the exalted one, certainly not willing to be humbled by being called Daddy. Imagine God being called our Heavenly Daddy. It's surprising that he wasn't stoned right then and there. That isn't all. He goes on to ask you to entrust yourselves to God as if you are a child of God, and to trust him just as you trust your earthly father, your daddy. You're to ask him to fulfill your daily needs. You're to rely on your daddy to take care of you. And you must ask his guidance in all that you do. Who's your daddy? Jesus is telling you that God is your daddy. This is the very heart of all that Jesus did and taught. Consider what's probably the most familiar parable. It's the one we call the prodigal son. Well, the Reverend Randy White suggests that this parable is misnamed. He cites Webster's dictionary, where prodigal is not only defined as exceedingly or recklessly wasteful, as was the child, the son, but also as extremely generous and lavish, as was the father. White goes on to say that if anyone in this story is prodigal, it's the father. He never gives up on his son. He loves his son no matter what the son might do, or regardless of how disrespectful the son might treat him. His son is his son, and nothing can ever change that. He is the prodigal father. And here is a wayward son coming back home, asking not to be treated as a son, but to be taken in as one of the lowest of the low, a keeper of the pigs. Remember the sermon Ray Petrie, in the sermon from Ray last month, when he told us about the woman who came to Jesus begging for him to cure her sister who was gravely ill, how she was willing to receive any blessings he had left over, any crumbs of a blessing, because she recognized that he was the Son of God, and how he bestowed his blessings on her. Well, in a way, the prodigal son is willing to do the same thing, but there's one difference. The woman received her blessings because she had faith that Jesus would help her. The son came back not because he recognized the magnitude of his father's love for him, but he came back in desperation. He was at his wit's end. He had no expectation that his father would welcome him back as a son. All he hoped for was to be accepted as a worker, doing the most menial chores on a farm for the bare necessities of life in return. But with parables like this, Jesus was adding a new dimension to his people's vision of God. God as Father, as their daddy. They were able to take his hand and trust him to his care in a way that they had never done before. Jesus never let his followers lose the image of God the Father. Think of all the times he refers to God the Father. In Matthew 6, so pray to your Father who is in that sacred place. Matthew 6, 9, our Father who art in heaven. John 14 is filled with references to the Father. No one can come to the Father except by me. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and so on. Jesus is saying in John 14, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Well, I don't think for one minute that Jesus was saying, look at me, look at my eyes, what color they are, look at the color of my hair, look how I stand, look how I walk, and you will see the Father. Now, my own personal belief, and take it for what it is, that is not what Jesus was saying. He wasn't saying he's a spitting image of the Father. He had been talking to Philip, and he asked Philip, Have I been with you all this time and still you do not know me? He goes on to say, it's the Father living in me who is doing all his works. To me, he's saying to Philip, look at me. You've been with me all this time. You have seen my works. You've heard my teachings. And as well as all those works and all those teachings, they are the Father working in me. When we see Jesus, we see the Father working. We do not see a picture of God. We see a picture of God's work, God's love, God's care for all of us. By my actions and my words, you have seen the Father. It's this Heavenly Father, your Daddy, reaching down to touch you as no other can do. Think about that. The God who called this earth into being, who peopled it with creatures like you and me, breathed life into us so that we can walk in this world in wonder, who has put his footprint onto all that exists, and now he blesses you and me and offers us the amazing gift of eternal life through the sacrifice of his Son. Just as a child reaches out his hand to trust his loving daddy, we're told by Jesus that we are to reach our hands out to our God, our daddy. God is your daddy, and he reaches out to you. He reaches out to you in love. All we need to do is reach out and take that hand. Regardless of who we are, how we have lived in the past, how unworthy we see ourselves, if we reach out in trust, in belief that our God's love is more real than anything we can know, more real than anything we can see, more real than anything we can touch, or that we can create by our own flights of imagination. He'll take our burdens from us, show us the way to our new home, which he has prepared for us. So who's your daddy? Your daddy is my daddy. He's daddy to all mankind, and today, as with every other day of the year, we acknowledge him and honor him. Praise be to God. Amen.